Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls. Plus, one day only, tomorrow, take 50% off all Old Navy active at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only. Active offer 10/20, excludes in-store clearance.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets and the promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in Locked On Pistons. L-O Pistons will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Well, we learned a little bit more about the Pistons' loss to the Clippers. On their way out to L.A., the Pistons' flight was delayed 3 hours. Stan Van Gundy, talking to the Detroit Free Press, described it as, quote-unquote, brutal. We've all been through flight delays. They can be tough. I don't know if it says something about his perspective that waiting 3 hours for a private flight, for a chartered flight, something that's just going to be for the team and obviously very high-end and comfortable as can be, is quote-unquote brutal. I think there are a lot of us who've been through worse flight experiences who don't have the luxury of flying on these chartered flights like NBA teams do. So to where that is quote-unquote brutal for them, good for them. I've waited longer than 3 hours and ended up on a more uncomfortable plane and had worse problems, and I'm sure most of you have. But for the life Stan Van Gundy lives, for the lives the Pistons live, I do believe that this was much worse than normal. Whether that had any carryover effect to the game, I don't know. I mean, the Pistons got beat pretty thoroughly on the road by a better team. It's hard for me to say, well, the plane was going to swing that, but I am also sure that it did not help. I also believe that Stan Van Gundy might not have used such a strong word like brutal and maybe would have saved it for today. As I'm sure you know, Donald Trump will be the U.S.'s next president, a real surprising upset. He beat Hillary Clinton in last night's election. And you might also know that Stan Van Gundy was a pretty big Hillary Clinton supporter. So with the Pistons in Phoenix to play the Suns tonight, in Arizona, a state that Trump won, here's what Van Gundy had to say. These quotes are via Aaron McMahon of MLive. Stan Van Gundy, quote, "We just elected an openly brazen misogynist leader. We have thrown a good part of our population under the bus. I'm having a hard time being with people. I'm going to walk into this arena tonight and realize that most of these people voted for him. Like shit. I don't have any respect for that." And I understand where Stan Van Gundy is coming from. I know a lot of people who were in bad moods last night, in bad moods today. Not sure how to proceed, not happy with the state of affairs, not happy that Trump won. And there is a massive distrust of Trump supporters by people who supported Hillary. There's also a disconnect that Stan Van Gundy is perpetuating. We saw plenty from Trump supporters before the race. We saw where so many of them stood, what they believed in. They were vocal in their support. And we also thought we had an idea of how many of them there were. All the polling indicated that Hillary would win, that she was ahead, that she'd win these key states. And so I think what we all need to reconcile to have better candidates next time, this isn't for either party, is the idea that there are a lot of people who voted for Trump who these polls did not identify, who were not vocal enough in their support, who were not apparent enough. There were these hidden Trump voters, and I don't know how much we know about who they are. I know how we're treating them. We treat them like Trump's biggest, most vocal, most racist, most xenophobic, most Islamophobic, most white nationalist supporters. But those people, and Trump had supporters like that, there's no question. And here's some news for you. So did Hillary Clinton. Trump obviously had more. But some of Trump's supporters were like that. But these hidden Trump supporters who did not show up in the polls, who were not reflected, we do need to think more about who they are, why they voted for Trump, because that is going, those are the type of people that understanding better is going to produce better candidates. The type of person who is not vocally, enthusiastically supportive of Trump, but still voted for him, who still accepted all his abhorrent views, because why? Well, because they thought Hillary was that bad? Maybe she was. Because they were sexist? Maybe that's some of them. Because they really liked Trump's other ideas? I mean, maybe. That's a hard case to make considering how little substance was behind his other plans. But these people are out there, and so I do think it's counterproductive for people who think like Stan Van Gundy, who are of the political mind, the political mindset of Stan Van Gundy, to just sort of be in a shell and dour and miserable and not wanting to confront that these people do exist and that this system where Hillary, deeply flawed in her own ways, was so easily handed the Democratic nomination, became her party's nominee, maybe that would have changed things. You know, there needs to be introspection in both parties to figure out what is going on and why the vote went the way it did. If for anybody who doesn't like it, and there are a lot of Republicans who didn't like it, the Republican Party tried very hard, very ineptly, but very hard. Republican leaders tried to not let Trump be their nominee, and they failed. The Democrats asked for Hillary to be their nominee. Their plan all along was to rally behind her. She was the preordained one. She has been preordained for years now. Obama was just a strong enough candidate to overcome that. Bernie Sanders was not, though he certainly gave it a good try. So anybody who does not like Trump as president, that's a pretty nonpartisan thing, at least fairly. A lot of Republicans who dislike him, more Republicans who dislike him and voted for him than Democrats who dislike him and voted for him. But there are plenty of people on both sides of the aisle who dislike him, who want to understand what's happening, who at least need to understand what's happening. So I do think Stan Van Gundy is taking the wrong tact here. It's a day. I understand where he's coming from. I know a lot of people who feel that way, who are down today and need consoling and have a hard time looking at people in the eye and do have suspicions and have problems with where this country is going and our shell shock. And there's a lot going on, and I think we're going to hear more from Van Gundy on it later once he gains perspective. But this is where he is right now. And when he addresses this again, we'll cover it again. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. So check out SeatGeek, start planning ahead, find what works for you when the Pistons come back from this road trip and get to a game. Palace is going to be a lot of fun this year. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. It's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons. It's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. And get to the Palace while you can. It's still looking like it will be the last year there, that the Pistons are going to move downtown. And the latest is from Luis Aguilar of the Detroit News, who reports that the cost to build the Red Wings' new arena has risen by $105 million. And yes, the price is going up, but that according to officials he has talked to, one, it doesn't necessarily mean that there were cost overruns, and it also doesn't necessarily mean taxpayers are on the hook for additional costs, but nobody will say anything specifically of whether that has to do with adjustments for the Pistons coming downtown and setting up the arena to permanently host a second team, and not just any second team, a basketball team. I am a little skeptical of the idea that it won't necessarily cost the public extra money. We'll see. A lot of times these deals are presented one way, end up another, to where you really have to wait for the final details of the final contract to get the scope of it. Government officials are usually a little more quick to deny if it's going to cost extra public money, maybe a little slower to acknowledge the other way. So to say not necessarily, I am a little suspicious of that. But if it's not a cost overrun, well, what else is it? I do think there's a decent chance that these extra costs are about the Pistons using the facility, because it will take adjustments to make it conducive, to have a permanent home locker room and any other setups that maybe we're not planned for initially. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I have no problem with that other than if the public is paying for that, because time and time again we've seen it does not create new economic opportunities. It just moves economic activity from one area, one locale to another. In this case, it'll be most clearly from Auburn Hills into the city of Detroit. But that's only part of it. A lot of, there'll be other areas affected. And we'll see how that plays out, whether that will be good or bad. But the history of these arena and stadium deals has shown over and over that it's never as good as what the public pitches in. The public, the taxpayer money, it does not pay itself off. Almost ever, if not ever. So I am curious how that's going to break down, but we don't know much more other than the costs of the new arena are going up, and the conditions around that sort of make you feel like, it might be about the Pistons coming there. But we already knew and really seemed like it was inevitable for the Pistons to head downtown anyway. This is just an added detail to it. We'll keep our eye on all those details. We'll keep an eye on the Pistons game against the Suns tonight. It's a game I would think the Pistons should win. It is on the road. The Pistons have not yet won on the road, but this is this will be their fourth road game. The other ones were against the Raptors and Clippers, two teams clearly better than them. One was against the Nets, their only game on a back-to-back. This is against a team that is not as good as the Pistons, and the Pistons aren't on a back-to-back. So this should be the one to break through. Would not be necessarily be crushing if they lost. The Suns do have some good talent. Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight in the backcourt. Jared Dudley's always underrated as a forward. Tyson Chandler's a nice veteran presence. And then there's Devin Booker, who's one of the league's bright young stars. an excellent shooter, much better than expected ball handler and passer, just a real plus offensive player. The Pistons will have to get theirs on the other end against him. His defense is well behind. And the Suns have a couple intriguing rookies in Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris who are not really ready to be positive contributors in the NBA. And the Pistons veterans should beat them up. The Suns have talent. They're young. They usually play hard. They're just not ready or talented enough to overcome not being ready. So the Pistons should win this. We'll see how it goes. We'll cover it tomorrow. We're here every Monday through Friday throughout the season. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.